Thank you. Well, good morning. It's really good to be here. It's good to be together just to celebrate that he is risen. Because if he wasn't risen, we would, it says in the Bible, we would be of most men most miserable. But we're not, are we? We're full of joy. We're full of the joy of the Lord because he is risen. And that impacts our lives today. And I just want to kind of go through something that I feel I want to share about the fact that he is risen. And we'll go through that in a minute. But one of the songs we sang, it says, "I'll dance in the dark." And I didn't know what, for me, that is, my dancing is so bad, it has to be in the dark. I didn't know what, I don't think it means that. But that's when I first sang that, I thought, yeah, I get that. No, it means when we're going through hard times, we've still got to dance. That's the faith in us that's got to rise up. We've got to dance through the hard times as well. Even though dancing in the dark might be a safe place to be. So, he is risen. And today we're focusing our attention on the fact that he is risen. And I just want to ask you a question. How good are you at listening? Yeah. All the men are going, "Ooh, that's putting me under pressure." We often hear things that are important, but we fail to get it to register in our memory. We do. We have lots of things that come to us, but for some reason, we forget them. I'm in trouble all the time. Because when I asked Linda, where are we going? At what time? She goes, "I've told you already." "I've told you. Why can't you remember?" And she thinks there's something wrong with me. She thinks early dementia is setting in. Because I can't remember half the stuff that I'm told. I don't know whether you're the same as that. Or is it just a men thing? It's just a man thing. I thought it would be. So there is, I always say there's listening and there's hearing, the two different things. We can listen to somebody, but we can also hear. That is, we are actually cognitively thinking about what somebody has said to us. And today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And along with his birth, that is the time we celebrate at Christmas, this is the most significant day in the Christian calendar. And I always imagine, I don't know whether you do the same as I do, but when we have these events, I always imagine what would it have been like to be there? How would we have experienced all this stuff? How would it have impacted our lives? Just to see the reality of the resurrection. Matthew 28:26 says this: "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." The two Marys were visiting the tomb to see the place where Jesus was buried, only to find that the tomb was empty, the stone had been rolled away, and they were there to put sort of smelly stuff to cover the putrefaction of a dead body. And the statement to the Marys is found in this scripture. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. The angel was referring that they should not have come as a surprise to them that he was risen, because Jesus had already told them that he would do that. He'd been with his disciples for 3 years. And he was always talking about his death and his resurrection. He was always making reference to it. And I don't know whether it's because they were men that it just didn't seem to sink in. And so at the death of Jesus, they kind of go, "Oh, it's all over then. He's dead. That's it. He's gone." And to get their heads round the fact that he had risen was quite difficult for them, even though he'd been telling them for all this time. I just want to read some scriptures from Matthew, where Jesus was talking to his disciples. And it says, "For as Jonah was was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. Let me move this down a little bit. Matthew 20:19, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. So there's this constant dialogue that Jesus was having with his disciples, explaining that he was going to go to Jerusalem, where he was going to suffer. He was going to be judged by the priests, the Pharisees, where he would be flogged, crucified. But on the third day, he would rise again. Do you ever watch the TV program, Would I Lie to You? Some of you do. Beryl doesn't. It's where panel members tell lies or truths about events in their lives. And they've got to choose whether it is true or false. It's quite difficult at times to pick out truth from lies, truths from untruths. And it's quite an interesting show to watch. And to an extent, our faith journey can be or feel a little bit like, is it true or is it false? You know, there are so many promises in the Bible. There are so many statements by God. We go, well, is it true or is it not? And we've got to pick out the truths from the lies. And it's just like the disciples at the time of the resurrection, is what Jesus said true? I will rise again on the third day. Is it true or is it not true? And so they were left in this dilemma that Jesus had died. He said he was going to rise again, but they kind of dismissed that. Maybe they didn't think it was possible. Maybe they didn't think it was going to be true. But they lived in this time where their faith was really being stretched. Their understanding of the reality of the resurrection was hard for them to comprehend. When we read the narrative in the scriptures at the time of the resurrection, we recognize that the challenges of the disciples was to move from disbelief to the moment their eyes were opened to the truth that Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead. On the morning, we know that Mary Magdalene in Mark 16:10 says this. She, that's Mary Magdalene, went and told those who had been with him, that's his disciples, and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in many, in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest of the disciples, but they did not believe them either. Luke 24. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who were with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It's interesting that those who accused Jesus of blaspheming, those who found him guilty, those who were cross-examining, those who denied he was the Son of God, remembered what Jesus had said. Out of all the ones that remembered what Jesus said, it was the accusers that remembered. Matthew 27, verse 62 says this, the next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. They'd remembered. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first. It's a real challenge to faith for the disciples. It's easy to know a piece of information. The faith challenge is whether we choose to believe it or not. And that's our daily journey, isn't it? We have the Word of God that gives direction. the word of God that speaks life into our hearts, the word of God that speaks freedom and joy and peace and hope into our hearts and into our lives, but we've got to choose whether to believe it or not. Because the moment we begin to believe it, it changes our attitudes and our behavior to the things that are happening in our lives. Here today, we know Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible is full of that information. I suppose the disciples didn't have the Bible. They didn't have this book that told them the story, the full story of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were living that experience, but that experience still had to be brought alive by faith. They had to have that faith raised in their hearts. The death and resurrection of Jesus demonstrated the love of God to the world. And we're here because of his love. We experience his love. We know he loves us. It says, for God so loved the world. God is a God of love. But sometimes the truth of that doesn't sink into our hearts. And we fail to receive the love of God. And I don't know whether you're here this morning. And the Bible tells us that he loves you. But maybe you're living outside of that. We know it, but we need to put faith into action. We need to trust God. God loves us. God loves the world. And it was demonstrated by his death and his resurrection. The death and resurrection of Jesus made a way for everyone to access the gift of salvation. We are born again into a new life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father. You can't experience this love, this forgiveness, unless you come through me. And his death and resurrection made a way for us to access all that God had for us through the amazing gift of salvation. The death and resurrection of Jesus demonstrated the obedience of Christ. It says, even to death on a cross. And sometimes we don't understand the humanity side of who Jesus was. But we see, don't we, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is he's struggling. He knows what's coming. And if you've ever been in a position where you know something bad is coming, it gets into your heart, it gets into your mind. It becomes a heavy burden. And he cried out to his Father, Father, can this cup pass from me? Is there any way around this for me? Can we give it a miss? And three times he was obedient to his Father, even to death on a cross. The death and resurrection of Jesus overcame the power and authority of Satan. We know Satan is alive in this world. We don't have to look very far to see it. That men and women are driven by something, this powerful thing called sin, to do all kinds of things. And you just watch the news and you can see it all being displayed before you. But Jesus has overcome that power. He's overcome the power of sin and of death. And if we live in his salvation, if we live in his provision, we are free from all of that. We behave differently. We have different attitudes. We are living in a different kingdom. We live in the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this earth. Therefore, we see the world in a different way. And we understand God in a different way. It says in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. He triumphed over the enemy. He holds the keys of death and hell. We forget that sometimes. We forget that he is victorious. We forget that he holds these keys. Because we look around the world and our eyes tell us something different, but we've got to respond to our heart. We've got to allow the faith that is in us to rise up and go, he is victorious and I am living in that. It tells us, they haven't got the scripture yet, tells us in Romans 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. The spirit of Jesus dwells in us. His authority dwells in us. We know it, but do we believe it? And so as we face daily challenges, sometimes when we think, I can't overcome this, Jesus is saying, I live in you. You can overcome anything. Through Christ, through God, all things are possible. The death and resurrection of Jesus brought a new covenant with God based on grace and love, not the law. So often in our humanity, we fall into the trap of thinking that things happen to us because we've been sinful, because we've done something wrong, because God is judging us, because God is just punishing us. And we can live in that experience if we're not careful. We can fall into the, I've done this, therefore God will do that. That's humanistic. God says he loves us no matter what we've done. God's love never fails. He's never far from us. He tells us that he stands at the door and knocks, and we've just got to open the door and let him in. And sometimes we've locked that door because of our understanding about God's grace. God's grace is an amazing thing. This new covenant we have with him, the old covenant was based on law. If you read the Old Testament, you find that there's a consequence for sin, and it usually meant a sacrifice of an animal. It was quite a big thing. People very often were judged when they got things wrong. Some judgment went on. But this new covenant, he says, my burden is light. I don't want you to have to do all that stuff anymore. All we have to do is put our trust in the raised Jesus Christ, because he has overcome all that stuff. The events we celebrate at Easter are a massive transfer and authority from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of heaven. And each of us has an opportunity to respond by acknowledging our need for forgiveness and accepting the gift of salvation given to us by grace. I don't know whether you're in here and you don't quite understand who God is. You don't know that he loves you. But what I'm saying this morning is that he has made a way for us to live differently. He's made a way for us to be set free from the power of sin and death, because he holds the keys. We've just got to go to him and ask him to unlock our hearts. What a great gift salvation is. At some point in our lives, we've all got to respond to the question posed by Nicodemus, asking Jesus about the kingdom of heaven. He came to him at night. Who are you? What are you teaching? How do I get into the kingdom of heaven? I understand what you're saying. I'm hearing it. But how does it work? And Jesus said this, verily, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So when we talk about being brought to life, physically we're alive. He doesn't bring us to physical life. But our spirit that is dead is brought alive in him. Why? Because he died and he rose again. He has the keys. He says he has the keys of death and of hell. The death he's talking about is our spiritual death. Our spirits are dead and they bring in alive, and he's got the keys. He has the authority to give us life. Our salvation won by Jesus is our starting point for our Christian discipleship journey. And it's a journey for the rest of our lives. It's something that we will always be progressing in, and we're running a small course that you can join in if you want to understand the journey of discipleship, the steps that we have to take to be mature believers. Join in. There's something over there that will tell you exactly what to do. In our daily living, as I'm sure we all experience, we will face the question of do we believe or not, like the disciples about the resurrection. Our journey is more than just knowing God, knowing about God, but living for him and putting our faith in what God says in his word. That's our journey. It's a journey of discovery. It's a journey when we learn how to put our faith in what God is telling us, in the truth of who God is, in the truth of what he's brought to each of us. What the gift of salvation is more than just being born again, but it opens up a whole new life to us where we live in the freedom that he's won for us. As we examine the Bible, we read many statements or promises that God has laid down for those who loves him, who love him. And God wants each of us to access all that he has for us. All the promises, all the gifts that he talks about are accessible to us. We know that because we read it. We know that because each Sunday we talk about these things. We know all about the promises, but they don't often fit our profile of how we understand them. We miss out on God wants to do in us because of our thinking. We think God should work like this, but he doesn't. Well, God is different than us. He thinks differently. He acts differently. He has a long-term view of each of our lives. He knows what he's trying to shape. And very often we put resistance up because it's not quite what we want. But the promises of God, it says a yes and amen. He wants them to be a reality in our lives. We know about it, but do we believe it? 2 Corinthians says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, amen, is spoken by us to the glory of God. When we live in the yes, then we say amen, because we recognize God working in our hearts and in our lives. So the statement by the angel of the at the grave of Jesus gave a straightforward statement about the authenticity and authority of the words of Jesus. He is risen, just like he said. I've tried to work out in what kind of manner that would have been said to Mary. He is risen, just like he said. Why are you surprised? Why is it beyond your understanding? Because that's what Jesus was saying all the time. I will rise again from the dead on the third day, just like he said. And we can go through life not accessing all that God has got for us, but he's already said it. It's all here. We've just got to put our faith into it to see something of God brought alive in our hearts. As we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, let us not only know the words of Christ, but believe them. Let's do that. Those hidden thoughts and promises can be resurrected today as we put our faith in what he has said in his word and see them become a reality in our lives, just like he said. What an awesome opportunity is to remember the resurrection of Jesus, just as he said, but also what that means for our lives. And as we read in scripture, it's the greatest gift on earth if we access it, just like he said. Let's remember today, let's this be a point of turning in our lives as we remember the promises of God and we go, I want those. I want to experience what God is doing in my heart and in my life. I want to get hold of all that God is and just work it out. What a great opportunity to do that on Easter Sunday. He is risen, just like he said. His promises are true, just like he said. He loves you, just like he said. He has plans and purposes for your life, just as he said. Just remember that through this week, just as he said. Every time you doubt, every time you hit something hard in life, Just like Jesus said, there is a way. There's a way. There's an answer to this. God has given me everything I need for life and godliness, just like he said. What an awesome day it is to remember the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you.